right. I recognize we're behind schedule, so I'll just launch right in. This briefing is on the Elk General and Elk Special Permit Seasons 224-15050 and 224-15060. Had the same, even not so great response on the public comments on the hunting season proposals, but and this is both for this general season slide and the special permit slide, but I think we can get at some of that. A number of the folks that are going to talk to you today are concerned about the original proposed cutbacks in Region 3 on antlerless opportunity for archery. The majority of that is probably in there, but there is a number of opposing comments in there of folks that for some reason on some Region 5 proposals that we made, we were proposing adding more opportunity, and they somehow misunderstood and thought we were taking away opportunity. And so there are a lot of comments on that, and so they'll be happy to understand when the rules are adopted that we weren't taking away on those GMUs. We were actually adding more opportunity. So the elk harvest for the last 16 years is there. We will bring you the 2017 data at the April meeting. excuse me, on the elk herds, their status. The surveys haven't been completed at this time or at the time of the development of this presentation. We have to get our presentations in pretty early. Some of the conditions that have impacted eastern Washington include the summer of 2015 drought and the above average winters in 2015 and 2016. The Clackam population has been reduced through antlerless harvest in previous years and is likely back down to the population objective. Our last harvest estimate on that, population estimate on that showed us we were at objective. The Yakima herd is likely below objective. I say likely in here a lot because we haven't been able to complete everything by the time of this meeting. Is likely below population objective and possibly even below post-hunt bull objective. So we've got some challenges for that herd. The Blue Mountains herd is likely below population objective a little bit. Our Mount St. Helens herd is likely at objective in the core survey areas. We can't survey every single unit for that population. It's so big, but we have a core survey area, and that work is going on currently in the next couple of weeks, and we don't anticipate any challenges there. The same with the Willapa Hills population. The Nooksack population is likely still growing, developing some new population objectives and new survey efforts. And those are being finalized in the elk herd management plan. Those surveys have just been conducted, and we'll be waiting for that information to be analyzed and estimated here in the next week or so. For the Selkirk, the North Rainier, South Rainier, and Olympic populations, we're mostly relying on harvest data to make our assessments on hunting season recommendations for those populations. So, on the elk general season proposals, and this is why a lot of the folks are here today, we initially proposed reducing the general season early archery antlerless opportunity for a number of the Yakima and Clackam GMUs. Hearing a lot of input from the public and comments online and letters too, we've worked through a compromise that we'll talk about at the end at the special supplemental recommended adjustments. So this isn't going to look like we proposed it on the website, so I will get to that at the end. We're also proposing modifying the elk area 3911 master hunter season to align with the seasons in 3912 and GMU 371. That 3911 hunt was was no longer doing what we wanted it to do, and we felt like we could take the approach of having that season align better with that other elk area and the other GMU. We also proposing adding GMU 334 to the early muzzleloader. In GMU 407, we're proposing to extend the late archery dates and liberalize the legal animal for late muzzleloader. This is an attempt to help mitigate damage up there. This bullet point is the one where I think folks who were upset about Region 5 proposals were mistaken. In the late archery, that has recently been an antlerless-only opportunity because it was part of the effort to reduce the Mount St. Helens elk population. We now feel like we can add bulls as well to that hunt, and so some folks were mistaken that they thought that was going away, but it's actually adding more opportunity to those two GMUs. And also recommending adding some muzzleloader opportunity in GMU 578, and that's also to help mitigate elk conflict. And shifting the early archery in GMU 624 to 3-point minimum. And in 663, we're recommending adding a bunch of 3-point minimum and antlerless opportunity for all three user groups. This is an attempt to address a small population of elk that it's the classic story. They're utilizing some federal national refuge land as sort of their hangout, but then they disperse out and are causing some nuisance and damage issues. So we want to get a handle on those animals. On the elk special permit proposals, we always adjust the quality and bull special permits up and down every year using the allocation formula. We also adjust the antlerless special permits up and down to maintain our herds at objective or move them toward objective. And we are proposing to reduce the quality and bull special permits for the Yakima herd in response to what we were seeing in the in our post-hunt counts on that population. This last one we're not going to be doing because of the compromise that we're proposing for the general season. So no longer need to add these archery antlerless elk special permits in Yakima and Clockham GMUs. We're coming up with a different recommendation for that, and you'll see that in a second. And then we're shifting some of the Region 5 bull permits to a quality category. That's housekeeping. We are adding some opportunity on the Northwest Olympic Peninsula. Folks looked at that and felt like they really had a number of ways to improve and add some opportunity up there. So we're proposing some quality permits, some youth antlerless permits, and also senior and hunters with disability antlerless permits. So all of that on the Olympic Peninsula, looking for new opportunity. Now here's where you're going to have to follow along a little bit. You've received these in your notebook. It's the supplemental recommended adjustments for the general season, and we'll be calling out page numbers. On page number 7, we're proposing, instead of what we were doing earlier, to add an early archery general antlerless elk season in the following GMUs: 328, 329, 336, 340, 352, 356, and 364. However, that season would run from September 15th through the 20th. So that would be the last 6 days of the early archery season. So if you're an archery hunter that hunts in those units, the first 7 days of the season, you would be able to hunt either harvest either spike or true spike, depending on the GMU. And then the last 6 days of the season, starting on the second Saturday, you could also harvest antlerless elk. So that was the compromise that we struck. (Clears throat) On pages 6, 8, and 10, you'll see a typographical error there under the Master Hunter Hunts. Those January dates should have read 2019, 2020, and 2021. There's an additional one on page 8 that also has that problem, and it's the late archery season that is pertaining to Elk Area 1010 and GMU 163. On the supplemental recommended adjustments for the elk special permits, I'm just going to read these into the record, but you have these in writing in your notebook. So under quality, on the Green River hunt, we're going to add archery and muzzleloader to the modern firearm. So all three user groups apply for that hunt now. If adopted, under antlerless, we want to, and this is pertaining to some of the things that Commissioner DeShield spoke to and others have spoke to, under the antlerless Eastern Modern Firearm special permit hunt, we have a Stevens hunt in there now, but we're proposing to change that Stevens hunt to a Douglas hunt. So we're splitting this up and change the number of permits from 10 to 5, but we're also going to add a Huckleberry hunt in the other GMU and add 10 permits into that hunt. That'll be good for the October general season and also the last half of December. On page 19, under the antlerless special permits on the Mayview Paola hunt, we're going to reduce that we're proposing to reduce that number of permits from 35 to 20. We're hearing from the local landowners. They wanted to know why we had that permit level so high. Since the last couple of years, they haven't been seeing that many elk in their neighborhood. So as a response to that, we're reducing that down. Under antlerless Western Modern Firearm, we're proposing to remove the South Issaquah hunt. We had proposed the South Issaquah elk area. That didn't pan out for a number of reasons, so we pulled that back, but we forgot to pull back the hunts that went with that elk area, so we're doing that three times. Under the antlerless Green River hunt, we're going to add archery and muzzleloader to the modern firearm. Under the antlerless Eastside Archery, because we're proposing the general season compromise for archery, we now recommend to remove the archery permits in Clockham, Tanaway, Denham, and Nastash, Nile, Bumping, and Rimrock. Under the antlerless Eastern muzzleloader hunts, the same approach on those Stevens County or on the Stevens hunt, and splitting that out to a Douglas and a Huckleberry hunt with some increased permits on those. On the antlerless Clockham, on page 21, on the antlerless Clockham muzzleloader hunt, we want to restore that back to from 100 back to 50 where it was before. And then on page 23, proposing to remove that South Issaquah hunt again. We don't need that. We don't have the elk area. And then on the two Centralia Mine senior hunts, those dates need to be shifted. That's a typo. Those should have been Saturday, Sunday hunts. So recommending that those shift back one day each. Again, on page 24, removing the South Issaquah hunt. And then under the Master Hunter category, we're also suggesting to remove the first Pumice Plains hunt. We have a number of Pumice Plains hunts in there. We've made a number of strides this season to get more hunting in all of that area, including the expansion of the elk area and some earlier dates in some of the nearby hunts. But this one wasn't going to work for us and the Forest Service the Forest Service. So we're suggesting pulling that one back. So, whew, with that.
Thank you, sir.
If there are any questions.
You've earned your deep breath. Thank you. We do have a good number of people that wish to present, so I will call you up again. Rick Leibel and Nicholas Yannity, please. Take her away, Rick.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak again today. You know my name, and I'm still here representing Washington State Archery Association and Traditional Bowhunters of Washington. After the department posted the proposed three-year season package online, WSA and TBW membership became aware of a major reduction in the early antlerless elk opportunity in Region 3. Members in our group, led by Jason Bolger, WSAA Hunting VP, contacted Region 3 staff to find out the reasoning behind the reductions. With that information in hand, we reached out to the department and Olympia staff to see if there could be an alternative to the draft regulations that would protect the resource and provide early general season recreational opportunity for archers. After 2 weeks of discussing options, we came up with a compromise plan that Jerry had on the screen that is workable for protecting the resource primarily, providing recreational opportunity for our user group, and is within the comfort level of department staff. This was a very contentious issue with all the archers in the state, and I don't think we're probably going to hear the end of it because it is a major loss of general season opportunity. But we would like to thank Region 3 staff and Dr. Jerry Nelson for their professionalism throughout dealing with this very contentious issue. And I would also like to thank the commissioners for making me feel a lot more comfortable sitting up here because public speaking in this forum is not my forte.
You've done good.
Well, you've made me feel real easy.
Thank you. You made
so, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Brent Hansen and Nicholas.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. My name is Nick Yannity. I'm here from the Stillaguamish Tribe. I'm a member of the Stillaguamish Tribe and a member of our Hunting and Fishing Committee. Today I deliver to the Commission a letter on behalf of the Stillaguamish Tribe and several other tribal signatories concerning co-management of the North Cascades elk herd. Unfortunately, we're experiencing what we call a deterioration or an erosion of our co-management relationship in Region 4, especially in regards to the North Cascades elk herd. Recently, a 2018 management plan was submitted to you that is, we believe, in direct disagreement with the majority consensus among our treaty tribes and will be detrimental to the elk population in 437 and 418. This management plan will not only have negative impacts on the overall health of the herd and in the existing management plan, but directly affects, we believe, our hunting rights, our treaty rights, and for the benefit of both state and tribal hunters. This plan, we believe, will result in stagnation of the overall reduction of a vital elk population in these GMUs. To put a sharp point on it, the tribe doesn't like to bring problems without also bringing or recommending a solution. We are asking respectfully that the Commission withhold action on increasing any elk harvest in GMU 418 and 437, instead entertain a floor amendment at your April meeting to WDFW's proposal, providing technical staff an opportunity to analyze spring flight survey data, harvest data, and until there's consensus between WDF and the co-managers on the harvest management plan. In short, we believe that science should be driving this decision, not political whims or the adverse effects of a minority group of people, that this should be a science-driven decision. And we need to give our science and our technical staff the opportunity to actually look at that data and come with a science-driven plan forward. That is something our co-managers can get behind. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'd be happy to come and chat with you anytime. You're in my neck of the woods. So.
You know, and you probably know my brother, Sean Yannity, the chairman for the Stillaguamish.
Right, yeah.
He's unavailable today, and I'm here, but his door and phone is, as you know, always on.
Well, thank you, sir.
This is the process that has been started, right, that we heard about earlier this morning, so that might be another reason that we maybe want to, just speculating, put a hold on that and let the process evolve as well. Amy, do you want to make a comment?
I think the process that we're entering into, and I really appreciate Ms. Janity coming. I think, you know, when I read the letter, sort of the most important thing that I take away from it is that, you know, we take co-management really seriously. I and by extension DFW want you to know that our co-management responsibilities and the respect for treaty resources is something that we want to demonstrate. And what I hear in your letter is that perhaps you do not feel is demonstrated in our current process. So I really take that to heart. Us coming to agreement all together with the stakeholders is going to take more time than we can wait for our harvest plan. But that's not to say that, and that process needs to start moving forward, and we're just at the first smallest step of bringing that group together. Mr. Janity and Mr. Huebner, who's here, know that we started with having lunch earlier this week, and we're taking some steps together. So I think we're at the beginning, and it's going to be a journey, and I'm really glad that they're here in front of us, and I know from working with the Stillaguamish staff that they're a key part of solving this problem. So thank you.
Yeah, and we would also like to be clear that we understand this is a bump in our relationship. It's certainly not a break in the relationship. We are here to work together with WDFW to manage these animals and for the betterment of our community and our environment and, of course, our treaty rights. But the important part is that we both have to agree that this is a relationship that is worth mending and that both opinions must be considered. And certainly, while consensus isn't always an easy thing to find, management never is. But our door is open. We just appreciate an equal footing. And we do believe that these decisions have to be going forward. Hunting seasons need to be put out there. Management plans need to be moved forward. That's why we're asking, very simply, to remain as they were in 2017 while we go through, as they were in 2017, while we move forward and not increasing detrimentally these harvest numbers until the science shows that we can truly sustain that.
Thank you, Nicholas. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to future discussions. And thanks for coming. Blake Granger, please, and Brent.
Yes. Thank you for your time this morning. Didn't really come prepared with anything other to say, but I wanted my voice to be heard on the changes that you are proposing down in the Rimrock unit. And that is, it's a very difficult thing to go out in the woods with a bow and arrow and harvest an elk, let alone to have such opportunity taken away from you when you remove the cows from the scenario. So I'm strongly opposed to those changes. I do see now that you guys have made some compromise, but it really riles me up when, you know, you don't get a full month to hunt the elk anymore. Now you've taken away the cows from us, and it's little by little, there's not going to be anything left to make me want to go out and spend my time in the woods and support the state with a hunting license. And, you know, it costs a small fortune to get everything you need and go out there and do it, but it's what we love to do. So we're going to keep doing it, but it really just, it's a hard pill to swallow when the state's going to try and take away everything that we like to do as sportsmen. So, nay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. Rachel Voss, please. Blake?
Good afternoon, I guess, now. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to voice my opinion. I've been bow hunting for about 4 years now, and I absolutely love it. I'm strongly opposed to the new proposition of the elk changes and the 300 GMUs for archery season. Archery season is already tough enough as it is, and taking away cow elk for us archers would only be devastating if turned into a spike-only season. And changing the rules and regulations now is only going to push that many more hunters to hunt out of this state rather than continue to hunt here. I love hunting in this beautiful state that I live in. The success rate is already near the single-digit numbers as is as bow hunters. Passing this new regulation would drop that number into the low single-digit success rate. It would take away any little chance that we as bow hunters have and the chance for that the youth would have of trying to get an elk at a young age. The amount of patience and energy that goes into finding an elk in general is incredible. So, again, I'm opposed to this new regulation, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate that. Commissioner DeShiel, again, please, and Rachel.
Morning, directors, commissioners. Nice to see you all. So I'm kind of gonna mimic what they said. I'm here because I am very much opposed to the changes with the 300 unit archery. I have been an archery hunter for over 15 years, and it seems like this is a consistent thing. We go from days being taken away, our seasons are getting shortened. And shorter, where muzzle loaders will pick up more, rifle hunters pick up more, and now wanting to take away our opportunity to take a cow elk. I really appreciate that they're trying to find a compromise, and it sounds like that they've worked with a couple organizations, but I could tell you that there is a list of over 3,000 names on it, and you guys would have had to rent the Toyota Center to get the amount of people in here who are opposed to this. I mentor several youth in the outdoors when it comes to hunting and fishing. I have four young ladies who are very, very excited to go out and archery hunt this year. If they don't pull a youth archery tag for a cow, then they have to be out there in the general season trying to harvest a cow. That frustrates them. And let's face it, they are our conservation future. We want them out there. We want them engaged. We don't want them in front of the video games. So, to kind of, I could talk forever, so I'm hopefully not going to go over my 3 minutes. but to go back to him speaking about the cost, and, you know, it is important. And sitting on the budget policy advisory, I can tell you guys that's a hot topic. It's a hot topic. The opportunity in this state is down, and that's why we are losing our hunters and our outdoorsmen and women in this state. And you're taking away more opportunity. Look at a couple, the 300 units, there's quite a few units. Is it 12 or 13, Bernie? Am I correct? And the 300, is there 12 or 13 of them? Okay, it's around there, I think, but sorry, I didn't mean to. Were you sleeping? I do not see that. I'm all for herd management of all of our resources. I'm very passionate about it, but I think that there is some units in the 300 units that need to be assessed. But do all of them need to be? Have the cow season, early season, taken away? Absolutely not. And to say that the 2017 numbers aren't even out yet, we need to go behind the science. And I think this needs to be reassessed further down the road instead of trying to set regulations when we don't even know what the harvest numbers are yet from 2017. Really, you guys, I am so passionate about this that it kind of makes me sick that it's even happening. So... yeah, I told you I could go for six more minutes.
Thanks, Rachel.
Guys. I appreciate it. Nice to see you
Good
all.
Good to see you again. Jim Sutton. No, Jim, please. And Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity again. I would like to address Commissioner Holzmiller's comment about visitation. We did, in our commissioner's office, did get a visit from the acting director here recently, and also with the regional director, Steve Pizangra, which also had a follow-up meeting the next day. Of course, we talked about several issues. Elk was one of them, but wolves, sturgeon, whitetails, and mule deer. So we had a good 3-hour session at our office, at least, and then a couple hours the next day down the Fruitland Valley. So I think some of that led to what I think is a good incremental beginning solution to a problem that's came up in 121. And the little history that goes with that is when I was in high school, you saw about two elk per decade in 121. Now you get 70 of them per night making a bed and breakfast out of your beardless barley field. So that's quite an evolution. When Steve Zinder was a biologist that was in any elk area to keep, and it was a habitat thing, not so much that elk couldn't live there. The habitat was the human element of that, where a lot of private ground, and his comment was always, we have too much, there'll be too much conflict, because a big elk population will impact private landowners too much, so it was always any elk. That changed with the new elk plan for the Selkirk herd, the sub-herd, whatever they called that in eastern Washington. Another thing that affected, you know, going to bulls only isn't what made this population, at least in that area. So, again, the Spokane Reservation is entirely in Stevens County, and probably if 121 was overlaid down the rest of the way south, it would encompass that. So when they brought elk in 1992 or so, they've been pretty successful in producing, and they've maybe reached the carrying capacity of the reservation. So the dispersers have primarily moved north and one drainage at a time. So Fruitland Valley's impacted heavily. They're moving off the reservation ground, which is pretty much timberland and very little agriculture, to starting to get into the ag lands. There's where the bed and breakfast part comes in. And there's some, seems like a little behavior change in elk the last few years, where they used to, there is one big piece of BLM ground in the head of the valley that's around 12,000 acres, which should be good elk habitat most of the time. The problem with Stevens County is there's no winter range for elk to go to, so they've started to come down in the valley. Some of them are being pushed there more in even the summertime. We've had a lot of trouble with them ripping up hay bales as they come out of the baler, which doesn't make guys very happy. And then before that, they like to come in and graze on that. So I appreciate the move to having some cow permits in there. I think it makes hunter opportunity in the whole area. Depredation permits are not very helpful, because if you specifically tie them to a landowner, a lot of times the elk aren't there during that time, and most of the landowners aren't real interested in getting a couple permits handed to them either, because it would just be more work to do when you don't have time and they not necessarily wanting to go do any hunting. So I think we did hear some acknowledgement that maybe the conflict specialists don't know a whole lot about agriculture, because some of the conflict specialists that visited the landowners gave them some advice that didn't make a lot of sense and didn't result in any decrease in conflict. So I think the department will probably do some training in that area too. My initial thought to testify was to get back to any elk in that area. I wouldn't say that's even universally totally accepted, even by the landowners, just because some of them said, well, probably what that might do would be invite a whole we have the Fountain of Elk off the reservation. We might have the Fountain of Elk hunters from who knows where. So the cow permits are a good start. They're the main problem, Mike. But one other side note on elk, because the predator-prey study is going on. One thing the landowners have let it be known that's not very good is to sending a helicopter over the top of their cattle in the wintertime and spooking them and chasing horses off and other things and in order to collar elk or whatever other species they might be getting at. One of my neighbors had two cows that were crippled up and, you know, not going to recover, and some others had some cattle go through some fences, four barbed wire fences, when the helicopter comes chopping over the ridge. So we would appreciate some notification or maybe even some agreement to let something like that happen. They were probably a little bit... The landowners are wondering why you would use helicopters to do that collaring when all you had to do is go sit in their hay shed and you could get all the elk that you wanted as far as getting some. So that's a detail to be worked out. I don't know if that information seeps up to your level. I thought it'd be something you'd like to know to maybe get some better coordination with whatever system you'd use to collar some of those elk, because they're certainly readily available in haystacks during the winter. So I appreciate that effort to get some elk removed from that area, and we'll see how it works out. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Nathan Harrington, please. Harrigan, sorry. And Jim, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith and commissioners and acting directors. I really wasn't coming here today to actually speak on this particular subject, but once I got here, I thought maybe I should. I keep hearing a couple things, and for the most part, now I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Later on, I'll be speaking on behalf of the council. That, yes, we need the youth opportunity, and whether that means cow tags or, you know, so on and so forth, that's a must, because they are our future hunters. You know, and again, for the seniors, we'd like to see those opportunities, and that not only is going to be on the elk, but also on the deer as well. I'd like to see that kind of stay into place. But when I was listening, I kept hearing at objective or below objective, excuse me. And my concern here is truly what the objective is. Is it just to keep our herds at a certain level? Well, if we have more hunters, or we want more hunters, and we have predators that are eating some of the ungulates as well, it seems to me that those objectives need to be raised a little bit. And I'm not quite sure how to go about doing that, but I understand, you know, land and capacity and carrying and so on and so forth. But we need the opportunities for the youth. We need the opportunities for the elder. And I think that we need to start looking at raising those objectives and getting those herds up a little bit and bringing our out-of-state hunters back to our own state to hunt. I know a lot of people who go, they're gone. They won't even bother hunting here. There's not enough animals, and they don't want to, you know, hang out. They'll just go pay the price where they can go actually hunt one. That's basically what I have to say about this portion of this. If I may digress for one second, we were talking earlier about the drones, and I know what a concern they are, but one thing I would like to see, and maybe in some verbiage somewhere, is please protect the portion where they're actually assisting a dead animal, because that's one of my greatest concerns as an archer. You find your animal once wounded or presumed dead. Sometimes they're in fields where, you know, the weeds are up taller than these tables and you can't see them, where a drone can go up and look down with a camera and tell you, yes, you've got a dead animal and this is where it is. So we're not shooting or taking more than what we need. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim, and pass on our best to your daughter. Wayne Bohm, please. And Nathan.
Hi. Chair, Commission, thanks for hearing me speak today. I'm here to voice my opinion on opposing the antlerless rule change in the 8 GMUs in Region 3. I've been bow hunting those units for the last 18 years, since I was 13. been here in a couple of years, I'm going to be bringing my son up with me, and I want him to have the same opportunity I did when I was his age. And after seeing this new proposal on Region 3 for the antlerless opportunity, I still don't think 6 days is enough days for us. That's one weekend a guy like me can go out and hunt elk for the year. And then the 3 or 4 other days are going to be during the week. So, anyways, I would like no change in the current regulations on it. I'd like to see it kept where it is, and that's more or less all I have.
Thank you.
Yep.
And Al Rinaldi, please, and Wayne.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Wayne Bain. I'm current president of Washington State Bow Hunters, representing a few hornets in the state right now. I'm here to oppose your elk cow reduction like everybody else. One thing I'd like to ask a question was that a 3-year plan or just a 1-year plan for the proposal that you decided to change?
Sure.
Our intent there was we would just make this proposal for 2018 for the coming year, and the proposal is to leave 19 and 20 blank, give us the opportunity to assess how this goes, and then make a decision for the subsequent year.
Thank you very much. Okay, resource allocation is basically what we've been working on for many, many years. It seems to have been doing a pretty good job is keeping the disparity between the different user groups and keeping your objective in line. I don't know what happened that we seem to be getting so out of whack with the user groups. Sean McCulley sent you guys a Archery Coalition presentation statement that had quite a few numbers, and I thought he did a wonderful job. One thing that we noticed is that the archers, actually all three user groups, are pretty much out of objective. And I don't know why we're taking such large steps in eliminating a lot of animals and making this disparity an objection, which would be so far out of balance, it'd take years and years and years to bring it back into line. I'd like to see smaller steps taken. I understand we have animal problems that are depleting and have met your objectives in their certain game units. But I think if we take a step back and look at this, and instead of the knee-jerk reaction that we have in front of us, that we could do a better job. I think I'm going to go ahead and let Al talk. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Wayne. And Derek Harned, please. Al, good to see you.
Chairman, members of the commission, may I stand?
Move the mic bit up. Yeah, we just got to make sure we get you on tape.
Yeah, I do better on my feet. I'm Al Rinaldi. I'm one of the founders of Washington State Bow Hunters. Started in 1976. I'm a current director. I was one of the original members of resource allocation when it started in 1990. I've been hunting here since 1969. I hunt out of state as well. And I've been to many commission meetings. This is, you probably remember me from the past. I remember you folks. The purpose of resource allocation, if you just bear me a second, the original purpose was to prevent overcrowding, have user groups have their own seasons, and encourage the use of more primitive weapons, if you will. You can't call a bow primitive anymore, but a shorter range weapon, which would help to reduce some of the take of animals. That was the original theory. Now it's become equal opportunity for everybody, percentage-wise. So I'm not going to talk percentage, but I want to say this. The original recommendation of eliminating archery elk hunting really blew my mind. I got to tell you, that's devastating. The compromise isn't much better. And here's why. I heard two things. As a trial lawyer, I listened carefully. He said there's no survey done, and yet they're going to cut. He said also, no offense, sir, but this is what you said. Likely the herds are down. Likely the herds are down. Where's the data? I think before you make a decision, you should have some data. But here's the thing that I'm really thinking about. We have a 13-day season. We used to have a 14-day season. Either sex elk for most people. Got to have permits for branch antler bulls. Now what do we have? We have a 6-day season starting the second weekend. You know how many hunters only can hunt on weekends? Not everybody's like me is retired. I can hunt anytime. Very few hunters have more than a weekend. We're going to have one weekend to hunt elk. That's what we're going to have. That's devastating to these people. The revenue is going to be gone. People are going to go out of state. The businesses are going to be affected. And as a commission, I know as commissioners, because I've dealt with you folks before, you're not just talking about animals, you're talking about people. You're talking about what these people need. I have two grandkids that hunt avidly. They go to school. They're going to hunt Saturday and Sunday for elk. That's it. You're taking away the youth opportunity. We need youth to continue hunting. Forgive me for getting passionate about this, but I really think we're premature in making any cuts until there's some real thought made into this process. I'm sorry, but I don't think it's been thought out very well.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think that if you're going to have anything, if you have to make any changes, I would recommend 9 days, the original 9 days, two weekends of either sex elk, and then have maybe, my time's up, sorry about that, and have maybe three more days. But it's hard to hold a lawyer down.
You said it, not me. Good job, counselor. And the recommendations you put forth, we appreciate that. So Derek there, I'm losing it here. Nathan, one more time. Okay. And Derek, there.
Thank you. How am I supposed to follow that? Okay. I am also a director with the Washington State Bowhunters. I think you've heard most of our concerns. I won't put it in triplicate. You get the idea. There's a lot of passion wrapped up in this. I will say I've also been bow hunting for 30 years. It's a passion for many individuals, families, and generations. So you understand the implications. I wanted to say that I have a Bachelor of Science in Fisheries and Wildlife Management, specifically with wildlife management. So I understand the delicate nature of what you are doing and the political attributes it brings with it. But having said that, similar to what Al said, originally, I came here to talk about the closures of the number of seasons. And then it's slightly disconcerting that I get here and find out that there's another proposal that's being flattered that I don't know anything about. So we haven't had a chance to really read that through thoroughly and come up with an opinion on that. So I don't know what our options are now as far as our group that we represent in the WSB to come up with a new idea or opinion of it, and then how we combat it or come back and possibly offer another solution or another compromise. So I'm going to leave it with that. I'm going to see where it goes. The one thing that jumped out at me with the limited, I believe it was 6 days at the end of the season. I was slightly curious why that time frame was at the end of the season and not the beginning. Possibly at the beginning the success rate would be slightly higher to increase the harvest rates for these young hunters that we're trying to protect and give the opportunity to harvest animals. So as a consideration, that was my initial thought. I'll stop with that, and we'll see what the other proposal entails, and we'll come back to it. And hopefully have the opportunity to address you all again, and, you know, we'll go from there. Thank you very much for your time.
And Nathan, you're the last one of this item.
Good morning again. I hadn't intended to testify on this item, but I felt compelled to. I think I will draw your attention again to the 2015-2021 Game Management Plan, pages 28 and 29, Objective 11. So you're taking away general season opportunity, which the published plan says will be set in order to equal recruitment, and that the priority will be youth, disabled hunters, senior hunters, and then primitive weapon hunters. I just think it's a shame that we would take opportunity away from those people when we have a plan that says that's not what we do. The plan also says that districts should retain general season opportunity whenever possible and use other techniques to manage harvest rates within a PMU before considering permit-only restrictions. It also says, while striving to achieve population goals, maintain season length as a second priority to maintaining general seasons. So use other techniques to manage harvest rates, such as timing, antler points, etc. I think my concerns about the deer general and permit seasons, and everyone else's concerns I've heard about the elk general and permit seasons, could be addressed if we would focus on following our game management plan. Also, as a side note, I think you could consider adding additional opportunity on a subpopulation of the Yakima herd, and that's the Rattlesnake Hills herd. They're at about 3 times population objective. Population objective is 300 to 400 animals, and the estimates are 1,200 to 1,500 in that herd. So that's GMU's 371, 372, and so I think there's opportunity to replace some of the loss to protect the other side of the Yakima herd with opportunities there. Now it's a different habitat. It's dryland sagebrush habitat, but there's a healthy herd. So thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. And thank you all, the Washington State Bowhunters group, all of you. You made some very good points that we will take under strong consideration, and I know staff will. So thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. Nelson, for your morning's effort. One last question.
Yeah. And Dr. Jerry, could you please come up? Jerry, could you please come? Just a quick question. Come to the front table. So, you know, we heard a lot of, I thought, good, thoughtful testimony, and you very well predicted that this, you know, the proposed restrictions on the archery season for elk would be, you know, controversial. So, right on. I think, and then we heard some, I thought, some interesting ideas, maybe some counter proposals. So what I'd like for you to address while we have people in the room is just kind of what your process is going to be, you know, before a final rule will be proposed and action taken at our April meeting. So just so the public can understand and get an idea of.
Happy to. So we will have to review everything that was brought before today by the public. We'll have to listen to the audio tapes to make sure we get the full gist of everything that was said, and then evaluate what those additional or alternative proposals might be. The suggestion that we do nothing is really not on the table. We do have a resource issue, and we're going to have to take some action to reduce the amount of antlerless harvest in those GMUs. And so we'll look for what ideas were proposed, see if there's anything there that we think can be added to what we're suggesting. There may be, there may not be, but we're not going to be able to in good faith make the recommendation that we're not going to do anything, that it's going to be status quo.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. One quick one.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Between now and April, will you be adding any 2017 information to the mix?
Yes. Well, by the April meeting, we'll have the 2017 harvest, and for deer and elk, and we'll specifically look at this topic, these GMUs, what's going on with the antlerless harvest for all the users, all the user groups, but especially the archery.
Thank you. And with